comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. It's all right. Here comes the sun.
Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 Ridgecrest and China Lake, and for the world at kpfk.org. You're listening to Voices from the Front Lines, your national movement building show. I'm your co-host, Manuel Criollo. And, you know, we just had a really exciting segment with Noel Trent talking about the show Underground. And I felt that one important way to sort of bring us full circle to that loop was to invite Salim Muwakil, who is a senior editor in These Times, where he has worked since 1983, and talk about his latest piece, which is called In No Certain Terms, which talks about a UN report that calls out the U.S. for the lack of reparations to African Americans. Welcome to the show, Salim.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Manuel. I appreciate the invitation, my man.
Of course. So, Salim, in some ways, you know, for activists out there, one of the things that we're all trying to look at, what are important leverages to use to sort of more profoundly move forward our work? And, you know, this is really, in some ways, it's been a long trajectory of many movements. But, you know, obviously Malcolm always talked about this idea of moving away not just from civil rights but into human rights. And really right now it seems like there's an opportune time as this new working group in the United Nations that is looking at sort of the state of people of African descent throughout the world, not just here in America, but throughout the world. And they just did a recent sort of preliminary report that, you know, traveled throughout the country, talking to a lot of different groups. I know some of the groups from the folks from down in Mississippi, down in Jackson. I know some of the folks out in D.C., and I know they also went to Chicago. Why don't you talk to us about what is the commission set up for? And then we can talk about some of what its sort of preliminary, pieces that they brought out in their recent report.
Well, the group is called the Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent, and it's a UN body, an independent experts that came together really at the end of the Durban Conference in 2001. Hmm. The UN Conference Against Racism and Xenophobia and other kinds of discrimination. And it was a large contingent of African Americans who went. And they, presented some very serious, issues to the experts and to those who were, conducting the conference at that time. And they decided to expand the issue, to examine the situation of people of African descent. They set up this working group, which visits various countries to study the problems of racial discrimination faced by people of African descent, which primarily they visit what we have come to call the diaspora. Mm-hmm. And they gather all the relevant information from the governments, non-governmental organizations, and you know, other relevant sources. And then they hold public meetings with folks who are directly affected. And then they propose measures that they seek to ensure, access to the justice system for people of African descent. And they submit recommendations on how to implement and enforce these measures and basically that's what they do. They make a certain kind of assessment of the condition of people of African descent in those particular societies, and then they propose ways to alleviate whatever problems they may find. This is their second visit to this country. They came in 2010, and they found you know, many problems, primarily problems of policing, problems of disparate health statistics, disproportionate miseries that African Americans suffer as a legacy of slavery. And they made that connection very explicit at the time, and made certain recommendations to the UN and other relevant organizations, human rights organizations, certain segments of the United States government. They also made recommendations too, and then they came back to monitor what the progress had been, and they found that the progress had been nil, and in fact things have gotten worse. Situation has worsened in many ways, and so they began to become a lot more explicit in their recommendations. And in this particular visit, they recommended what they would call reparatory justice. What we would call reparations. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a capsule of what would happen.
We're speaking to Salim Muwakkil. He's the senior editor in These Times, where he has worked since 1983. He's the host of the Salim Muwakkil show on WVON, Chicago's historic black radio station. And he wrote the text for the book, Herald, the photographs for the Herald Washington Years, talking about this recent report by the United Nations Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent. You know, the other thing that I know that is also fueling some of this work is that the United Nations itself has declared, I think, the decade of people of African descent. And so there is even the chance that this will be sort of a permanent body, just as we see with indigenous people having sort of a permanent body. And I also know that, you know, a lot of groups, I know both the U.S. Human Rights Network and others and a lot of activists and organizers from New Orleans post, you know, Katrina, have attempted to use the United Nations and sort of an ability to try to leverage a set of demands that will, you know, force the United States to meet their obligations to the people. And even in Chicago, as I know, that a group of young people or a group of organizations also went to Geneva, I think about a year and a half ago, to put a set of demands sort of post the movements that were sort of emerging out of Florida and St. Louis and in Chicago about this demand around We Cry Genocide.
We Charge Genocide. Out of Chicago, mm-hmm. that went to Geneva and made explicit demands and really made a very powerful showing. Got international attention, brought international attention to some issues in Chicago. The issue of police violence was really raised first internationally by that group, We Charge Genocide, a group of young folks who are attempting to resurrect a movement that was developed in the 50s by a group of African American activists who did submit a document, We Charge Genocide, to the UN, making that specific point. There are many attempts to resurrect this international connection. And as you pointed out, that's what Malcolm talked about, shifting the focus away from civil rights to a more international focus of human rights and taking our case to an international venue. And that is exactly what's going on. And you mentioned the Human Rights Network that really is the organization most responsible for making these connections between a lot of these what they would call NGOs in this country, mm-hmm. and the UN and efforts in the UN to expand its monitoring of the situation for people of African descent in various countries. And you're right, it is the decade. It has been declared the decade of people of African descent. And that is in many ways because of the success of that Durban conference that was the first attempt to deal with issues of racial discrimination specifically anti-African or anti-black or Afrophobic, this kind of discrimination. And it is a continuation of that. And this latest working group, which was led, incidentally, by the daughter of France Fanon, mm-hmm. Marielle Fanon Mendez, who is the daughter of the famous author France mm-hmm. Fanon, you know, some of, who wrote some of the books that we were forced to read in my Panther days. And you know, I'm so much better for reading them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's so ironic that she should be the one mm-hmm. who's involved in this effort, and it's, you know, kind of come full circle in a lot of ways.
Well, let me read something from your piece. In No Certain Terms, UN calls out U.S. for lack of reparations to African American, and you do mention here the chairperson Marielle Fanon Mendez. And this is her quote, or a sum up from the working group's preliminary finding. It says, despite substantial changes since the end of the enforcement of Jim Crow and the fight for civil rights, ideology ensuring the domination of one group over another continues to negatively impact the civil and political, economic, social, cultural, and environmental rights of African Americans. I mean, what was her impressions of, you know, taking in probably hours of testimony from people and, you know, visiting a lot of the different neighborhoods throughout the country? What was her sort of both? I mean, obviously, as you're saying, you know, it's not even ironic. It's almost like a prophetic sort of moment that the daughter of Frantz Fanon is the chair of this working group. But, you know, what did she?
You know, she, I guess you would say that her biggest takeaway from what I could gather was that it's so obvious the trajectory, the connection between the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow apartheid and the situation, the disparities that African Americans are suffering today. That historic connection is so obvious that it was almost impossible for her to believe that white Americans couldn't make that connection. And she was really astounded by the kind of cultural denial that seems to have been built into, the perceptions of white Americans if they can't see that, because it seems to her to be so plain. And that was really what I got from talking to her and what I, surmised was her greatest takeaway.
Hmm. We're speaking to Salim Muwakkil. He just wrote a piece called In No Certain Terms, UN calls out U.S. for lack of reparations to African Americans for in these times. You know, I don't know if you've had a chance. I think you came in at the latter part of my conversation with Noel Trent, who we were talking about this new show, Underground. And one of the aspects of what you just raised, that of what this preliminary report, which will, I guess, be finalized sometime in September. Why don't you talk to us about this idea about reparatory justice, which, as you know, I think you noted earlier, it has a link to the demands around reparations for slavery and Jim Crow and the discrimination that people of African descent here in the United States have faced for, you know, 350 years. What do you think that looks like for this body to both land that sort of...
To kind of make that connection.
To make that, not just to make the connection, but more importantly, you know, that what will it mean if that becomes the primary way that they are speaking about what the U.S. owes people of African descent to sort of the debate of that's going on in the country? You know, on one hand, the rise of the Black Lives Movement that is so profound and real in so many cities, or even just the conversation about race that has, you know, profoundly been shifted, even from all the extremes, even with, you know, the rise of really some really racist forces out there who sort of out of 8 years of experiencing of Barack Obama as their president cannot take it. And, you know, they're so clearly sort of speaking their mind on how they land on questions. And in some ways, you know, as you know, Eric Mann, who's the host of the show, wrote a book, you know, called Dispatches from Durban, you know, writing about the experience of what happened in that moment. And of course, the profound loss that, you know, this happened only basically days before September 11th in some ways. Mm-hmm. The debate about reparations at that moment, while not didn't get lost, definitely was put off on track. So, you know, what do you think the meaning of this report can mean for the movement on the ground?
Well, you know, I did hear a little bit of what you're talking about earlier, and there's scholarship emerging increasingly that demonstrates just how important or crucial slavery was to not just the development of this country as an industrial giant, but capitalism itself, mm-hmm. industrial capitalism itself, how cotton fueled that growth and how enslavement not only fueled the growth of cotton production, but the ancillary industries, and how it all figured into this pot to create of what we call industrial capitalism. And then so much of what we benefit from today economically as a first world nation is in fact directly based on enslavement of human beings, of African people, enslaved Africans, using enslaved Africans to generate wealth. So that is becoming increasingly more evident the more scholarship that emerges on that era. But one kind of odd thing happened, and it kind of unexpectedly. This journalist from Baltimore, Ta-Nehisi Coates, wrote a piece in Atlantic mm-hmm. that made the case for reparations, not even going back to this period of mm-hmm. of enslavement when all of this wealth was generated. He was simply taking it from contemporary history,
right.
and demonstrating how the plunder of African American communities resulted in disproportionate wealth development, and how wealth was reapportioned or redirected from those who were generating it to another population. And then so he made it clear how that dynamic continues in another guise. And so the combination of Ta-Nehisi's excellent journalism and the yeoman's work that scholars have put in to demonstrate the debt that American capitalism owes to enslaved Africans has made this such a compelling argument that it will become, I think, increasingly clear to those who want the best for this country, who want the best for the American enterprise, the folly of reproducing these race-based social disparities that are easily traced to slavery's legacy, that will become increasingly clear, and how it dulls America's competitive edge. It will become too obvious to ignore or deny. And now, you know, we muddle through that now because we have this, you know, we had this prison industrial complex that absorbs the social dysfunction that has been created by this racial disparity, and has transformed it into corporate profits to a certain extent, or at least it has taken that kind of energy out of the community, which may have been threatening to a lot of white Americans, you know. But at the same time, it siphons the agency and the energy from the black community. And so it creates an inert community that is only a crippling adjunct to America as it struggles trying to compete in this world. And so I think people who understand the need to efficiently use your human capital, understand the enormous waste of these race-based social disparities, and so I think it will become increasingly clear how America has to move on this legacy of slavery. It has to move on it if it is to survive as as the America we know.
That's the voice of Salim Mawakil. He is senior editor in these times. We're talking about his latest article in No Certain Terms about the preliminary report filed by the United Nations Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent and the idea of reparatory justice for, really, as you're saying, I'll put it in my own words, for the sins of, you know, American white capitalism on the black community and many communities here in this country. You know, and I think, you know, these are really exciting times. And, you know, I really hope that people are following this conversation, because I do think as you lay out, Salim, that this final report will be filed in September. And it seems like it really, for many people on the ground doing important work, you know, and that's what Voices is trying to do, is really trying to, you know, get the word out there for organizers to be thinking about their work. Obviously, we're all trying to do important work on the ground and trying to figure out what is the potential of using this as both as a leverage and as a teaching moment. I really want to thank you for writing this piece, and I think we need to continue this conversation. And I really want to, you know, thank everybody. And of course, we're speaking to Salim Mawakil. He's the senior editor in These Times, and just wrote a really important piece around In No Certain Terms that I really encourage everybody to go listen. You know, again, this is your co-host, Manuel Criollo. Eric Mann will be back next week. We, of course, love for people to write to us at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com. It's really important for us, for folks to reach out to us. You can also Twitter us at Eric Mann Speaks. I really want to thank Gary Baca, who's the board operator, and Channing Martinez, who's our, you know, wonderful producer, helping me out on the other side of these earphones. So thanks again. I'll see you next week.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.